Our Father in heaven, it's a gift to be here today. We thank you for your Spirit's leadership in each one of our lives as you call us to yourself. Father, as you are about the business of equipping us to be all that you'd want us to be, to reflect your Son, the Lord Jesus, through our lives in unique and varied ways. Father, we want to worship you today in spirit and in truth, and I pray that as we share together of who the peoples are of Eastern Africa and what you've been doing among those nations, of who we are as your servants and how we can join together in a partnership that does reflect your presence in our lives. Our desire is that you'd be glorified in this hour we spend together. Father, bless us with your presence as we spend time together in your word, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Dr. Moeller, faculty of Southern Seminary, missionaries of Eastern Africa, students of this fine institution, even though I've been in two others, I'm beginning to call Southern Seminary home. It feels very good to be back here again. It is my privilege to be here today. We've been meeting together with Dr. Moeller, with professors in the Billy Graham School for about 2.5 years. As we've dreamed together about the possibility of entering into a partnership between you, the leadership, the student body of Southern Seminary, and the missionaries with the International Mission Board, and the nations of Eastern Africa, to see God do something very special in all of us as He chooses to glorify Himself by making Himself known. What I want to begin to do today is, first of all, I need to introduce you to your new partner. There's a number of us that are here. Twyla mentioned I did. I just left Saturday night. I got in here Sunday, and I'm still trying to get over the difference. As you come our direction, it's going to be eight hours difference during regular time of the year and 7 during the summer months. But I tell you, it'll affect you as you travel back and forth. You definitely will feel it. But first of all, I'd like to introduce the team of missionaries and the regional leadership team that are here. And so if you're a missionary or serving on the regional leadership team, I'd like to ask you to stand. Larry and Frank, and I know, where's Terry? Terry, you are a missionary. You please stand, sir. Any others? You're going, thanks, guys. Tim Gillihan will be joining us later in the day as he's coming from the Missionary Learning Center up in Rockville, Virginia. He's just finished. We got 21 missionaries that are taking off in the next week coming to join us, brand new, coming to Eastern Africa to be a part of what God's called them to do. And so Tim will be with us later today. We've also had a number of you with us, and I don't know, I've already seen Jason, but if Jason Lee or Eric Graff, Matt, Chris Parker, Dr. Hadfield and his team, those are students that have been out, and there's some from Boyce. I see Randy's here. If you've been Eastern Africa, would you stand? If you've ministered in our part of the world, there's Randy. Oh, my, yeah, we've got journeymen that are here. I appreciate you all being with us today as we begin to formally discuss and make plans of how we're going to work together in that part of the world. Well, not only do we represent missionaries sent out with the International Mission Board and volunteers that have come, but we also are coming to introduce to you today the 682 nations. Dr. Moeller was right. He identified the countries that these nations live among, but as we listen to God's Word speak to our hearts, the way we want to look at the world today is not just by geopolitical entities of Kenya, Uganda, Southern Sudan. But how we want to look at the world are the 682 different nations that live in that part of the world. I'm here today to tell you that of that 682, 144, and I like that number, that's an easy number to remember, 144 of those nations are greater than 100,000 people. That's a significant city. Larger than 100,000 and have less than 2% of them would name the name of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is that 144 that we want to give ourselves to. It's that 144 that I hope in the next 3 years you begin to get to know them by name. You begin to get to know them by experience. You've been among them. Of that 144 today, as I just went over this list this morning, there's 105. Out of the 144 that are less than 2% Christian, there are 105 that we're still not touching. We're not among them. We don't know their language. We don't know their way of life. We don't know their worldview. And so, Southern Seminary, I'm here today to ask you to come and join us in dealing with, in taking the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, in preaching and teaching and telling those nations, those 105 who have names such as the Dinga, the Toposa, the Tepez, the Hema. Those nations, we want to get the good news of Jesus Christ that we so enjoy. We want to get that news to them. I hope in the next 3 years, those nations become a part of your vocabulary and a part of your understanding of what God's up to in that corner of the world. But not only am I here to introduce to you Eastern Africa, I'm here to remind you of what would compel us, what would call us to this kind of a ministry. And so if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of John. I want to begin this morning out of John chapter 20. Very fitting for me, the Lord just given me this passage in the last few weeks because the special words that are in here, and I trust as I begin to introduce to us what would compel us to be partners together in this task of seeing the peoples of Eastern Africa have Christ the Lord indwell in their hearts. What's going to compel us? Let's see what God's Word has to say. First of all, John chapter 21, beginning in verse 19. On that evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came. Jesus came and stood among them. And He said, "Peace be with you." And after He said this, He showed them His hands and His side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Partners of Southern Seminary, I believe there's some challenging words here that would compel us to the task that we're beginning to discuss together, that we've signed this morning. First of all, what compels us is His resource that's our available strength. I think it's very interesting that He uses the word "peace be with you" twice in this situation. Notice where the leaders of the church were. This is the day of the resurrection. They're together that night, locked in a room because of fear of the Jews. I want to submit to you today that fear is nothing new to us as His people. I want to submit to you that as you come and get to know the peoples of Eastern Africa, one of those people groups that you're going to meet are the Zigua or the Zaramo, right on the coast of the Tanzania shoreline of the Indian Ocean. If you'll come, I hope you get to meet some of the believers that are now paying a dear price for naming Jesus Christ as the Lord of their heart, wanting to follow Him in believers' baptism, and then live in a community that's 99% Muslim on the coast of Tanzania. I'll guarantee you, those folks, as they go to bed at night, they know what the term fear means. I believe that as you and as I continue to be obedient to God's call upon our lives, we've got to remember that what He gives us is a peace that can overcome the fear that the world wants to hand out. And so as we begin together this task, I want to remind us that God's promise for us, as we face sometimes danger, difficulty, overcoming odds, all that's out there in that very, very lost world, we've got His peace as our resource. But the second thing that Jesus wants to remind us of is, as He says, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." One of the elements of our task together is that, brothers and sisters, we didn't make this one up. The International Mission Board did not sit around and say, "What can we do to entertain ourselves with a task that's big enough that you can get your hands on?" No, I want to submit to you that the task that's before us is a divine task. It's God the Father. It is His choice. It is His way. It is His will to call us to be sent ones. International Mission Board, as I said, didn't make this up. Even though we look at the world as 15 different people groups, 15 different regions, God's plan is that He sends His children into a lost world. It is a divine plan. Secondly, not only a divine plan, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I, or so I send all of you. It is a shared plan. I want to tell you that if you'll read your Bibles in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, I believe you'll discover the joy that's going to be yours as you invest your lives in the nations. As the prophet Isaiah dreams of what it's going to be one day where all the riches of the world come into the temple, he uses the term, our hearts will throb, our hearts will be swollen with joy before the Lord of what he's doing to bring the nations to himself. I want to submit to you that the thing that will keep you in ministry, whether it's as a pastor, whether it's as a missionary, whether whatever God has called you to, is as you begin to get a foretaste of what God has for us in eternity with him. And part of that foretaste is the nations assembled around the throne. I want you to know that one of the most fulfilling parts of my missionary career was during my very first term in eastern Zambia among the Ngoni people. I was doing what all missionaries do. I was having an all-day Bible study on the book of John. And we were working our way through it. And it got to be about 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night and seemed to be a good time for us to quit. And so we shut it down, but I could tell they weren't ready to call it a day. And so we sat around a fire. I began to notice some things that were happening that were unique. I hadn't seen this before. Some of the children began to carry in bundles of grass, and they laid them out, and they kind of stoked the fire up, got it a little hotter, and it was burning higher. They began to get some drums, and they began to beat those drums, and I could tell that something's getting ready to happen in this little village about 11 o'clock at night because children were coming out of huts. Now, Dr. Miller, I want you to know, I want to be a good Bible teacher, but I didn't call the children out. Now, they didn't come hear me teaching on the book of John, but when those drums started to beat, kids start coming out of huts. Then the women came out, and we began to get a community of about 100 of us all gathered around that fire, and all of a sudden those big, long pieces of elephant grass that had been laid there on the ground began to have a meaning because each one of the men went and gathered one of those pieces of grass. They took their Bible, and they began to get in a huge circle. And as those drums just continued to beat in a rhythm that's not, we're not used to that rhythm, but as they began to do that, those men began to dance in a circle together with a art form or a dance form that's unique to South Africa. Because I was with the Zulu tribe. Those are the conquerors. They conquered a larger territory than Adolf Hitler. They dealt with more people than Hitler dealt with in World War II. And I'm on the northern edge of that kingdom. And they began to do that dance that celebrates their heritage. And so as the longer they begin to dance, you could see those kids' eyes lighting up, and the women were participating in that joyous event as they're celebrating. And then they began to sing a song, and as I was listening, I could preach, I could work in Chichewa, their language, but I was listening to the song, and I could begin to tell that they were singing, God's word is our sword. His spirit is our provider, and we are his warriors today. They began to celebrate. I want you to know my heart welled up within me. Those verses that are in the book of Isaiah, it happened inside of my own life experience where I began to sense a beating of my heart and just an excitement as I'm beginning to look at what is coming in the future. You all were different. I want to invite you to a part of the world that's so different. The Maasai, they're not like the Kikuyu, they're not like other tribes, all 600 of those people groups. There's a lot of diversity. But what I'll invite you to is you begin to get in on the beginning, the glimpse of what we're going to get to do around that throne. Y'all, this morning it was great to worship. Dr. Muller leaned over and said, oh, it's good to be. We're in the right place today as we celebrated together. But I want you to know this is just a foretaste. And we're only in one language. We're only in a beginning of what God has for us that we're going to get to enjoy for all eternity. Now, I don't want to let you know that it's all selfish, but I will guarantee you, if you come and get your life close to believers who are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be blessed as you see the way they worship and they want to pour their lives out for His kingdom that's coming. It is a shared task. It's not just the International Mission Board out there doing it. We are working in concert with what His Spirit is up to as He moves among the African church. I want to invite you to join us and be a part of that. The last part of this challenge to us is not only is it a God-given divine task that He's calling us to, and a shared task, but it's a supernatural task. As Jesus looks at His disciples, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I want to invite you to a place where you're going to have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. While I was working in eastern Zambia as a church planter, I had an evening where the Holy Spirit worked deeply in my own life. We were in a village much like, in fact, it was very close to the one where they had danced, and I had been so encouraged in the Lord. It was late in the late evening, 10 or 11 o'clock. We'd been told that we couldn't sing anymore. The African church loves to sing. Come, be a part of that. Oh, boy, that's something they do well. And so they asked us to stop singing because in that little village there was a young child that was the chief's granddaughter, and she was sick. And so Bill Phillips and I, who were working that night in that village, we went to the chief and asked him, "Could we pray for your granddaughter?" And he allowed us to. And we went in there in that place. And I want you to know I went back to the first century because out there there's no electricity. There was two little lamps. They weren't built out of clay like you all will study in archaeology and biblical backgrounds. These were just little tin cans with a string out of them, but they lit those two little lamps. And one was at the foot of the child and the other was at the head. And around the inside of that hut were the entire family just sitting there watching that child writhe in pain on that grass mat. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that if there was ever a prayer of faith, I prayed that prayer that night. I got inside of that little hut. I knew there's only one answer here. And Lord Jesus, I know You, and I know You're the author of life. I know You can heal. And I prayed, and Bill prayed. And then we asked that family, "Can we take that little child? The closest hospital is 75 miles away. It's about 11 o'clock at night." I said, "Can we take your child to the doctor?" They had a family meeting right there because as we would do that, we then become responsible for that child. So they decided that we could do that. And so we had a big farm truck, about a 3-ton truck, big flatbed, looked like, you know, what we drive around here at harvest time. I wanted to put that little child in the front seat. But the family all wanted to be with that child, so they put it in the back. And they all got in that back of that farm truck, and we started that 75-mile drive over bad road through a couple of rivers. Well, about an hour later, as we were coming down a hill, we knew that there was a river down there at the bottom. We'd been stuck in that river as we came to that village, and tonight, it's now about midnight, if we're going to get through that river, we're going to need to hit it with enough speed to go get up on top of that mud and go through it. Well, what happens? We come down that hill with that little child in the back. We don't quite hit it fast enough. Instead of going up on top of the mud, we go into the mud and we bury that truck up over the front axle. As the sound and the dust and everything began to die down, there was a sound in the back of the truck that I cannot explain to you. You have to hear it yourself, but the baby had just died. And the mother, as she held that child and realized that the life of that little one was gone, began to mourn in a way that we're not used to in this part of the world. But it definitely communicated a broken heart. And so as that family got out of that truck and we're down in the bottom of a riverbed, the Holy Spirit got real to me that night, because as the family left, that meant there were two missionary men, Bill and John, and Mary Dean, with a 3-ton truck buried up over the front axle. And what we had to do was get down on the ground and get under that truck with one arm load at a time and pull that mud out until we finally got that truck free to go on. I want you to know that while I was in that place, God's Spirit began to work on my heart. And what his message to me was that John, someone has to pay a price to get the good news to this place. To be a part of investing your life in the lives of the Ngoni people, John, I'm calling you to pay a price. Are you willing? And I want you to know that night, as each one of those armloads of mud came out from underneath that truck, I did business with the Lord. Now that's my call. That's where God made missions a part of my life, of what He wants me to give my life to, of making the good news known to the people of Africa. I know that because His Spirit spoke to my heart in a clear way that night. But I want to submit to you that God's working in your life in the very same way, because that Holy Spirit, His plan is to convict us of sin and righteousness. His plan is to lead us in the path of life that He has marked out for each one of us. And His plan is to be that one that walks alongside as we do what God's called us to do. I believe that in a community of this size, there's a good number of people that God is calling you to give your life to the nations. I just can't believe that God's plan is that so many of us stay and work among ourselves when there's such a lost world that continues to live without the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe it's our job to make that something that we would use as a lever or a manipulating factor. I don't want to have any part of that. But what I do want to do is, as His people together in community, I want us to seek His face, because I believe it is our responsibility to take the good news beyond where we are. Some of you in this room, I believe God will give you the opportunity to work in China, in Afghanistan. Some of you are going to have the opportunity to work in Louisville, in Frankfurt, and in Paducah. The issue is, do we obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit? Southern Seminary, today is a special day in the life of the missionaries in Eastern Africa. There's 286 of us today assigned to that part of the world. Till our partnership, I heard you just have a 1,000 new students that have come on, a whole lot more partners to be up to what God's got for us. But as we are obedient to God's call in our lives, let me remind us, what compels us? First of all, it's a divine task. I trust in this congregation, this auditorium, every one of you know the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace that's been poured out on your life personally. Because if you know it and you've tasted it, we are compelled to share that, to pass that on to people that don't have the same opportunities that we have, that don't get to experience Him in the riches of His goodness that He pours into our lives. That's a divine call to make that message known. Secondly, it's a shared task. He didn't call us to be lone wolves. He wants us to participate together. We're going to reflect His Spirit's presence in our lives as International Mission Board, as you send us out, as this school, and as we partner together with that African church. It's going to be a shared experience. And finally, it's going to be a supernaturally led, supernaturally empowered experience as we work together to see the nations of Eastern Africa come to know Him. I'm looking forward. I am looking forward to what God has for us as partners. Today, as I told you, 105 nations that don't have someone preaching, teaching, telling, and living the good news in front of them. Are you going to? I know you're going to come and join us. I can't wait to meet with Billy Graham's staff. We look at the people groups. Where could Southern make a difference and get that good news of our Lord Jesus Christ into places where it's not known? As you join the missionaries that are currently on the field and doing that task, as you now walk side by side with them, I look forward to what God's going to do through this partnership. As you come to places where today we are done, we are not sending a missionary to the Kikuyu. We are not sending a missionary to the Kamba. We are done with those people groups as incarnational missionaries, but we're far from done with seeing the church matured. We're looking forward to you coming and being a part of that African church where we're not We'll introduce you to them. We'll help you know how to live beside them. And then you go get to be a part of growing that church stronger, being more committed to what God's got for them in that part of the world. I look forward to the partnership we're going to share. Well, today, as we think about Jesus' call upon our lives, I want to ask God to bless the future. 3 years. And this relationship that we're going to have, that first of all, it would glorify Him, and secondly, we would see new nations come to know Him and walk with Him because of the leadership of the Holy Spirit as we do this task together. So let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the way that You move in our lives. Father, I thank You for the gift of worship that we've shared together today as this choir, this orchestra have led us to Your throne. But Father, I thank You that there's more yet to come. The best is yet in front of us. Father, I thank You for the nations that we together, Eastern Africa, the International Mission Board, and Southern Seminary, I have the responsibility, the challenge, and the opportunity of sharing the good news with folks that don't know You today. Father, I pray You give us wisdom, strength, and Your leadership that we can follow You in a very clear way. Father, we ask You to lead us in that path. And Father, today we want to commit ourselves to You. We want to be Your servants. We want to be available vessels that You can use in the task of making the good news known of the grace that we have so enjoyed. We want to be faithful in that. And so, Father, it's to that end we commit ourselves today. For it's in Your